You are listening to a podcast by Spring Hill Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Spring Hill Church is called to reach everyday people with God's grace, His unconditional love, and the life-changing power of His Word. Thanks for listening, and if you would like more information, you can visit us online at springhill.cc.
But this is week number 3 in our series called Be Transformed. And what we're looking at is the process that the Word of God gives us for being transformed and becoming the people that God wants us to be. Let's look at our foundation scripture found in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. In the New Living Translation, Paul wrote this. He said, "Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." So transformation in our life doesn't come externally per se. It doesn't come by us trying to change things in the natural and then having an effect on the inside. No, what this scripture is teaching us is that transformation, real life change for us, happens from the inside out. And so again, Paul said, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. So the way that we think determines what our life looks like. We said early on in the series that, again, that if there are behaviors, if there are habits, if there are things in our lives that need to be changed or eliminated, the way that you're going to do that is by changing your thinking, by allowing God's Word to change the way that we think. And so last week, I gave you some things that, six things that you can begin to wean your mind from that will help you in this process of renewing your mind. The Old King James says that we need to renew our mind. And so that's the process that we're talking about today. So how do I renew my mind? So if you want to make better choices for your life, then again, you're going to have to change the way that you think. And the way that you're going to do that is by renewing your thinking, or changing your thinking and renewing your mind. Now, one thing I want to say right off the bat, and that is this: renewing is not learning. Renewing is not learning. Paul wrote this letter to the Roman church, or the church at Rome, rather, in that portion of the body of Christ. And these people were definitely born again, and they had a somewhat of a working knowledge of the Word of God and the gospel that was preached to them. And so they had learned some things. But renewing your mind is not the same thing as learning. We can learn the Word of God. We can memorize the Word of God. We can learn about the characters in the Bible and everything that they did. But that is not the same thing as renewing your mind. Now, I want to show you a scripture in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. It says this in the New King James, "For those who live according to their flesh," listen, "set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit," and I'm going to add this, "set their minds on the things of the Spirit." That's implied there. So again, those that live according to their flesh, according to their natural desires, according to, and listen, we're talking about believers too, that live according to their natural cravings and things like that, it's because they have set their minds on those things. But those who live according to the Spirit, and the way that God wants us to live and the way that God wants us to behave, are the ones that have set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Verse 6 says this, "For to be carnally or naturally or fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." I like the way the NIV says, verse 6, it says this, "The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace." And I know you're like me, you want a mind that is governed by the Spirit. In other words, where we allow through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit living and dwelling on the inside of us, we allow Him to be the strongest influence in our thinking and allow Him to dictate what we think about, which in turn dictates our decisions and dictates the quality of our life and dictates our habits and dictates our patterns of behavior. All of those things happen as we set our minds on the things of the Spirit. So how do we get from being carnally or fleshly minded to being spiritually minded? Well, this is what we're talking about today, and that is the process of renewing your mind. Now, I heard this years ago, and I just thought it was an awesome illustration to help you understand the process of renewing your mind. Let's say you live in a house, and you know, a nice, comfortable home, and it's full of furniture, and you have furniture in the bedrooms, you have furniture in the living room, you have furniture in the dining room, the kitchen maybe, and your house is fully furnished. But you decide one day, you know what, I don't like the furniture that's in my house. I want to update or maybe replace and start over and get some new furniture. Well, listen, what you don't do is go to the furniture store, order all your new furniture, and then have them deliver it and bring it to your home, and then you try and fit it in with all of the old furniture that is there. You don't do that. We wouldn't even entertain that idea. No, what you have to do is you either have a garage sale or maybe you donate some of the furniture that you have to somebody that needs it, or Goodwill or something of that nature. In other words, you get rid of the old before you bring in the new. Well, renewing your mind is exactly the same way. You don't try and cram God's thoughts and His thinking patterns in with your old thinking patterns, and you have both of them there occupying the same space in your head. It doesn't work that way. What you have to begin to do, and we covered some of this last week, is you've got to begin to get rid of the old ways of thinking and then replacing that with the new way of thinking. You get rid of that old furniture, either you take it out back and burn it, you have a garage sale, you give it away, and then you bring in the new furniture to replace it. And the same thing is what is in renewing your mind. You begin to address those old thoughts and getting rid of them and then replacing them with God's way of thinking. And just to sum it up, it's a process of taking out and putting in. Let me say that again. Renewing the mind is a process of taking out old ways of thinking and putting in the new ways of thinking. You know, I heard it said this way, just to kind of summarize it. It's house cleaning and refurnishing. House cleaning and refurnishing. And what God is endeavoring to do is to do some house cleaning in your mind and in your thinking, because again, He wants to affect your behavior. He wants to affect your thought processes. He wants to affect your decisions. And so what He does is He leads us to begin to clean out the old ways of thinking and replace it with His way of thinking and His way of doing things. You know, don't just have a mental garage sale, I heard. You know, listen, don't pass your old thinking on to other people. Get rid of it. Just burn it. All right? And then start over with the new. Now, I want to go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. And I like the way the King James, the original King James, lays out these verses, and you'll understand why in just a moment. But 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3, Paul wrote this. He said, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal," they're not natural, they're spiritual, "but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." So let's read this again. "For though we walk in the flesh," you and I walk in the flesh, we live in this natural world, "but we are not limited to do battle and to deal with these things by natural means in our flesh. We have been given the verse 4 says, the weapons of our warfare are not natural or fleshly, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, we're going to talk more about strongholds in just a moment. And verse 5 says this, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, in writing this letter, Paul broke this down, and he did it in an opposite way, or not, it's not wrong by any stretch of the imagination, but he went at it from the biggest to the smallest. And for the sake of our lesson today, I want to take this from the smallest to the largest, to the least to the greatest. And so what I want you to do is understand that there are three levels of thinking or mental activity that you and I function in. Three levels of mental activity that you and I function in. Number one, we start with thoughts. Notice Paul said that we have to bring every thought into obedience to Christ. So we start with our thoughts. Number two, the second level of mental activity are called imaginations. Imaginations, the second level of thinking, is the wonderful gift that God gave us called imaginations. Now, imaginations can work in the positive or they can work in the negative, work against you. But notice Paul said this. He said, after bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ, if you don't deal with the thought, then you're going to have to cast down some imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So you have thoughts, or let's do it this way. You have thoughts, then you have imaginations. And then notice Paul said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So you start with thoughts. Thoughts lead to imaginations, and imaginations, negative imaginations not dealt with, lead to negative strongholds. Or you can put it on the positive side, on the Word of God side. When you and I deal with our thinking, we bring our thoughts in line with the Word of God, then we can use our imaginations to build strongholds of God's Word in our thinking. And so Paul lays this out for us, okay? Now, I want to just clarify something. How does the devil operate in our thinking? I know people, and I used to believe this years ago, that the devil puts thoughts into our minds and causes us to think the wrong thoughts, thoughts of lust, thoughts of this or that, that are contrary to the Word of God. Now, I want to show you that absolutely is not true, because you need to understand something. The devil is a fallen angel. Lucifer, who is now known as Satan, is a fallen angel. Angels cannot read your mind. Only God can read your mind. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, the Lord told Samuel as he was preparing to anoint the next king of Israel, he said, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. The Bible says that God knows what the thoughts and intents of a person are. So God does know what you're thinking. He does know what you're believing. He knows everything about you, but the devil does not. The devil cannot read your mind. And so this thinking that the devil plants thoughts in your mind is not accurate, in the sense of, for him to be able to strategically place thoughts in your mind in order to bring you to sin or whatever, that he would have to know what you're thinking so that he could strategically and on purpose place those thoughts in your thinking in order to trip you up and cause you to fail. And he cannot do that. So how does it work? He is, again, a fallen angel. He's not all-knowing. He's not all-powerful. He's not even omnipresent. He's not everywhere at the same time. Now, he has a large team that works for him that helps him with this. But your thoughts are a process, are results from you just navigating through life. And we build certain patterns of thinking because of life experience, things that we've been taught, and so forth and so on. And what the devil and his crowd do is they observe your patterns of behavior and they listen to your words. And so when you and I display a weakness in our lives towards a certain thing, the devil takes note of that and he recognizes that and begins to introduce thoughts to your thinking through the circumstances of your life. Okay, so I wanted to mention that to you. So let's begin to break this down and look at this lower level of thinking, this first level of thinking, and that is the selection of thoughts. So number one is this, the first level of mental activity that every human being is involved in is the selection of thoughts. Now I want to point your attention to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31. Jesus said this, "Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, and wherewithal shall we be clothed?" In other words, he was referring to the purpose or the thing that we get involved in called worry, okay? And so Jesus said, don't take the thought. So here's the first thing I want you to see about thoughts. You determine the thoughts that you take or reject. You know, a lot of us think that we just navigate through life and our minds are just kind of freewheeling and just whatever comes up and pops up into our head is what pops up into our head. Well, you may not be able to stop thoughts from coming into your thinking, but you, according to what Jesus said, have the ability to determine the thoughts that you accept or take or you reject. Now, how do you do that? Jesus said, take no thought saying. So the way that you take a thought is by attaching your words to it and saying it out of your mouth. You know, you might be thinking about something and thinking about something and thinking about something, and then all of a sudden, before you realize it, what you've been thinking about comes out of your mouth. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, Paul said this, and he said that we have to take thoughts captive. And I like the way the Passion Translation articulates this. It says this, "We capture, like prisoners of war, every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One." You know, I'm a huge history buff, and I love watching YouTube videos and documentaries on TV about history. And one of the greatest things that I like to study is World War II. And I can remember seeing video or film rather, it's of course been turned into video, of when the Germans surrendered in Europe and became a defeated foe at the end of World War II. You would see large groups of these German soldiers that had been gathered together by Allied troops, whether American or British or whoever, and you know, they would be gathered together and you could see that they were held captive. Their power had been stripped from them, their weapons had been stripped from them, and so they no longer possessed any ability to inflict harm either on the opposing soldiers or civilians that happened to be in the area. So what does that say? So when the Passion says this, we capture like prisoners of war every thought, I want you to get that into your thinking, that you capture that thought, you take it prisoner, and you strip its power from it. You take the weapons that it has in order to build up patterns of thinking in your mind. And so it becomes a defeated foe. Now, how do you do that? You don't put words that support that thought. No, what you do is you take the Word of God, put that in your mouth, and express the Word of God that opposes that thought. And that's what brings that thought captive. That's what takes that thought prisoner. And so the way that you capture thoughts and you make them surrender to the Word of God is to contradict that thought with the Word of God on your lips. I want to say that again. The way that you capture thoughts and make them surrender to the Word of God, that you strip their power, that you make them become a defeated foe, is you must contradict those thoughts with the word of God spoken out of your mouth. Put the word on your lips and speak it forth. And that's the way you arrest those thoughts and bring them captive. So I like to be real practical. So let's say you have a thought that says, you're going to get sick, or maybe you had a report from the doctor and the thought that pops into your mind is you're going to die. Well, you know, we respect the doctors and we respect their expertise, but thank God we have a higher opinion of that situation. And so what you have to do is you have to go to the Word of God, find out what God's Word says, and begin to put God's Word in your mouth. In the book of Psalms, it says, I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. So to arrest that thought, take it prisoner, strip its power from it, you have to put the Word of God in your mouth and begin to articulate what God says and not allow that thought to come into your vocabulary and therefore support and reinforce what that thought is telling you by the words of your mouth. And so that begins with the thought selection process. Now here's the second level of mental activity that you and I are engaged in, and that's called the imagination. Now imagination is a very, very powerful thing. It's a tool that God has created every person to have and possess and to be able to use for their own benefit. You know, imagination is the process of building mental pictures in your thinking of how you want your life lived out. You know, you can remember, I'll just use me. I can remember being a kid and I wanted to be an astronaut. Man, I came up at the time when the space program was getting started, and I can remember, you know, being a little guy, 6 years old, sitting on the floor of our living room watching TV and seeing Neil Armstrong walk down out of that lunar lander and walk on the surface of the moon. And man, I wanted to be an astronaut. And you know, just a little guy, I just began to imagine myself, doing that. So I would, you know, have models, I would build stuff, I would pretend like I was an astronaut and just have a big time with it and use that imagination process to build those thoughts into my thinking. Well, of course, you know, as a kid, we pretend and we imagine all kinds of things, but here's a sad reality, and it's a sad statement of our culture, and that is this. Very often we discourage people from using their imaginations in order to picture what God wants them to experience. You know, what if we are taught from an early age that what God's will is for our life, what God's plan is for our life, that what God wants to do in our lives, and then we're taught to build mental images, imaginations based on those things. You know, let me give you an example. Let's say, again, you know, you're taught from the Word of God that the Bible says in Psalm 91 that God will give you long life satisfied. Well, I know people that have built into their imaginations that they're going to die before they're 60 years old. Well, that's not long life. You know, I've known people that have, not personally, but have heard of people that have said, you know, I'm going to die before I'm 45. You know, my grandpa died when he was in his 40s. My dad died when he was young. And so I guess it's just up to me. And so what they begin to do is they build those mental images in their thinking of their life being cut short by some sickness or disease and then not fulfilling the long life that God has planned out for them. And it all starts with that thought. And then they begin to dwell on it and build those mental images. So mentally imagining your circumstance and the thoughts you have taken builds an image of what your life will look like. Okay, so this is the level where behavior begins to come in. So once you've dwelt on that image long enough, you'll begin to adapt your behavior to accommodate that mental image that you've built on the inside of you. And so what we have to be mindful of doing is building mental images, beginning to imagine our lives being lived out according to the Word of God. you know, this is part of, and we're not going to get into this today, but this is part of the process of meditation in the Word of God. The Bible tells us to spend time meditating. In the Old Testament, that word that is translated meditation in Psalm 1 and in Joshua 1:8 is also translated imagination in the second Psalm. And so part of the process of spending time meditating on the Word of God is spending time imagining your life being lived out in line with the Word. You know, somebody might say, well, Pastor, that just sounds ridiculous. No, you use your imagination all the time. You, whether you realize it or not, when you encounter circumstances in your life, you begin to imagine things going one way or the other. You begin to build those images on the inside of you. And whether you realize it or not, you begin to construct a path for your life being lived out based on what you have been imagining. So what that does is after you have selected that thought, you've taken that thought. Well, you know, I just don't know. My dad died when he was young. My grandpa died when he was young. I guess I'm just going to die. And so that thought gets introduced into your thinking and you begin to dwell on it for a while. And so then you begin to build pictures of your life being cut short, whether, you know, hey, heart disease runs in my family. So I guess, you know, I'm going to have a heart attack by the time I'm 45 or whatever the case is. And so you begin to imagine your life being lived out according to that image. Well, what if you did the opposite and went to the Word of God and began to imagine your life being lived out by the Word of God? You know, as the verse I quoted from Psalm 118 that says or Psalm 91 rather, that says that God will satisfy you with long life. Now that doesn't, you know, mean you might live to 150, but listen, live a long quality of life until you're satisfied and you're ready to go home to be with the Lord. Don't let past experience or what family members have experienced and all that type of thing determine the quality and the direction of your life. Let the Word of God shape the direction of your life. You know, instead of imagining your life always living or being where you barely get by, no, God has a plan for you to be able to prosper financially, to be able to experience growth and increase in your life. Begin to imagine those things. And so that takes us from selection of thought to imagination to the third level of mental activity, and that is what we call a stronghold. Now, in the Greek language, that word stronghold means a fortification. It's a fort, it's a castle, if you will. You know, thinking about medieval castles and those types of things. And so you and I were created to be able to take thoughts, build imaginations, and then that will begin to build a fortification in your life. We call it something else. We call it a habit. And so what that does is you have the ability to create certain habits in your life. And it's awesome when you think about it that God created us with that ability. He created us with the ability to be able to do things in life, navigate our way through life without really having to expend mental energy on those things. Like, let me give you an example. You know, when I was young, when I was a little bitty guy, little boy, just starting out, you know, my mom and my dad would have to tell me, hey, son, go in there and brush your teeth before you go to bed. And, you know, so I'd have to go in there. And of course, it started with them having to show me how to brush my teeth. And then I got to the point where I could do it by myself. But, you know, sometimes when it came bedtime, first of all, I didn't always want to go to bed. And then secondly, I didn't want to have to brush my teeth because if I brushed my teeth, that meant I had to go to bed. And so, you know, they'd have to tell me, go in there and brush your teeth. Well, you know, here I am almost 60 years old, and my mom does not have to call me up every night before I go to bed and say, son, did you brush your teeth? No, it became a habit for me. I incorporated that into my life, and it became a habit. And you know what? I could be brushing my teeth and thinking about 100 different things. I could be thinking about what I need to do that day or what I did that day if it's nighttime, whatever the case might be. And so God created us with the ability to be able to build habits in our lives so that it doesn't require mental energy. In other words, great effort for it to be carried out. Now, here's what a habit is. Let me give you this definition. A habit is an acquired behavior pattern regularly followed until it has become involuntary. Let me say that again. A habit is an acquired behavior pattern regularly followed until it has become involuntary. And so, negatively speaking, Satan can begin to, through navigating life, introduce thoughts to us of failure, lack and insufficiency, and defeat. And if you'll begin to dwell on that and imagine it, then you will bring into your life certain habits that will enforce that stronghold, that will enforce that behavior pattern in your life. And so what he does, again, is he'll manipulate people to bring certain things into your life. Let me use an example. You know, I have never been tempted to do drugs. I have never been around people that did drugs. I've never, smoked cocaine or taken cocaine or smoked crack or anything like that. And you know what? Satan does not have people cross my path that do drugs because he knows it's no temptation for me. I've displayed no weakness in that area, but there are other areas of my life where I have displayed a weakness, and what he does is he passes people or circumstances into my life that introduce thought patterns that would take me down that path. And so what we have to do, and again, he's trying to build a habit into our lives. And so again, going back through our process, what I have to do if I'm tempted to do that thing is I've got to arrest that thought. I've got to take that thought captive. So when that thought crosses my mind, hey, why don't you do this? Then I've got to take that thought prisoner, strip it of its power, and make it a defeated foe by putting God's word in my mouth that's contrary to what that thought or that temptation is. And as you do that, that temptation will lose its power in your life and will no longer be a problem to you. And so again, the first level of mental activity starts with thought selection. The second level of mental activity is where you begin to build imaginations in your life, and you picture the way your life is being lived out, and you see that over and over and over again. And what that will lead to is building a stronghold, a fortification in your life called a habit. And then it just becomes something then you have to deal with. Now, here's the good news. You can take all of those processes that I just said and you can use it in God's plan, in God's will for your life. So you can begin to select God's thoughts for your life. You can build godly imaginations on those things, and then you can dwell on it long enough to where those things become habit to you. And, if circumstances are presented to you because you've built a habit on this thing, man, what comes out of your mouth is not fear or dread. No, what comes out of your mouth is the word of God. No, in Jesus' name, I take authority over that. And I don't receive that into my life. And it's not necessarily something that you've had to premeditate to do. It just happens because that behavior has gotten incorporated into your life. Now, as we wrap up today, I want to leave you with something, and we're going to talk more about this in the coming lessons. But I want to take you to Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 27. Let me give you a little background. Isaiah is prophesying to the children of Israel regarding an enemy that had come against them and tried to oppress them called the Assyrians. And so the Assyrians had come against them and they had gotten into disobedience. They had opened the door to these things. And so what the Spirit of God through Isaiah began to prophesy to them was that there was a day of freedom that was coming. Let me read this verse to you found in Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 27. And it says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden," talking about the Assyrian people, "that their burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." Now, I love this. If you look it up in the Hebrew language, the word that's translated there, anointing, in Isaiah 10:27 in the King James Bible, actually means oil. And you know, all throughout the scriptures, oil is symbolic of the power of the Holy Spirit. And so what I want you to see is that you are not left on your own as a born-again believer to have to deal with negative, bad habits that need to be broken in your life and removed. No, you have a resource that is available to you, and that is the person of the Holy Spirit that lives and dwells on the inside of you, and He will provide the power that is necessary in order to break that burden and that yoke of bondage off of you. And so you need to know what to do. And so again, I encourage you, pay attention to next week's lesson, and we'll begin to talk about how do we begin to do that process. How do we release the anointing in our lives to be able to break those bad habits? But again, I want to encourage you and say this: God didn't just leave you on your own and say, hey, you're going to have to deal with that the best you can. No, you're on your own. You're going to have to figure that out. No, God said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put the source of my power, my spirit, on the inside of you, and He's going to provide the wherewithal and the supernatural ability to be able to break that thing off of you so that you can live free from those negative habits, those negative patterns of behavior, and not have them control you. I want to say this to somebody. God, it is not God's will for anything other than Him, of course voluntarily, but other than Him to control your life. And so if you are watching this video today and you have things in your life that seem to be controlling your life, I want to say two things. Number one, that is not God's will for your life. That is not God's plan for your life. And number two, He's made a way for you to be able to get free from that thing. Aren't you glad? That excites me to let, you know, just to let me know that I am not on my own, that God has given me a helper that can help me get free and help me break those patterns of behavior, those habits in my life that are negative and contrary to the Word of God. Hallelujah. And so if you're dealing with some of those things, just know God has provided help for you. I want to take a moment today and I want to pray for you. If you find yourself as a believer dealing with some things in your life that maybe, you know, aren't pleasing to the Lord, or maybe they're not sinful per se, they're just unnecessary and are a burden to you, I want to pray for you. And I believe that God's going to begin the process by the Holy Spirit of setting you free from those things. And so would you pray with me? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for whoever might be watching this video today. And Lord, they know that there are patterns of behavior, there are strongholds in their lives that need to be broken. Father, I thank You and I agree with them right now for freedom, for breakthrough. And Lord, I thank You for the power of the Holy Spirit to rise up big on the inside of them, to set them free. You said in Your word, Father, it's the anointing, it's the oil of the Holy Spirit that breaks those bondages in our lives. And so, Father, I believe their days of freedom are on the way. I believe that their days of bondage are coming to a close. And Father, we thank You for it. We believe You for it. And Lord, I thank You and praise You for the wonderful plan that You have in place for us to live free and to be able to have thinking patterns, imaginations, and habits and behavior patterns in our lives that honor You, that glorify You, and fulfill Your will, plan, and purpose in our lives. And I thank You for it in Jesus' name.
Thanks once again for tuning in to the Spring Hill Church podcast. We hope that you have been blessed by today's message. If you would like more information about the church, please feel free to visit us at springhill.cc.